Let us all say amen.
Amen.
And that is what we should be doing, living by faith. Paul said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that in which we live should be according to the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
I want to say good morning to everyone.
Good morning,
everyone, and thank you for your presence here this morning to worship with us. We're thankful also for those sick and shut in that are not able due to limitations from being with us this morning. I want to say good morning to you also and welcome you to the Highland Heights Church of Christ, where we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Amen?
Amen.
We know that when we come and assemble, that's our purpose. Luke shared with us those five acts of worship. When we assemble, we understand when we assemble that God is the audience. We are the participants in our worship. Those five acts that we find written that Luke gave us in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So we teach from the word of God. We also fellowship with, give back to the Lord faithfully what God has blessed us with. The word fellowship means to share with someone. We share with God what God has blessed us with. Then we commune with the Lord. Our mind, heart should go back to the suffering that Christ shared, the breaking of bread, when he died on the cross for the sins of the world, gave his life up. And we're allowed to commune, those that are Christians are allowed to commune with him on the first day of the week. And then also brothers have led us in prayer on this morning. And then the Bible tells us in verse 47, Luke wrote, praising God, we praise God with the fruit of our lips. We sing. We don't have the accompaniment of instruments. We sing to God with what God has already gave us to sing. Hebrew writer said, with the fruit of our lips. And the Bible says, in having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And we want to say that if you're here this morning and you have not been added to the Lord, it's my responsibility at the close of this message to share with you, if you're not a Christian according to the Bible, you are not saved from your past sins until you obey the Lord. But the Bible says, and the Lord added daily at that time those that will be saved. So our hope is that you'll come forth this morning after understanding what God requires of us, that one can be saved. Amen? This message this morning is one that should be received as deeply personal. It involves the greatest responsibility that each of us have to our own selves. It contains the prescriptions between us and eternal salvation. Paul penned in his second letter, second chapter, of his letter to the Philippians. In that, he said, work out your own salvation with trembling, with fear and trembling. Work represents an action. Your own means it's personal. Salvation is the saving of your soul. Paul said in the text, that is done with fear and trembling. Yeah. It's my subject this morning. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Again, I said, this message to me and hopefully to you is one that is deeply personal, because it shows in it that I have the greatest responsibility that I have in this life is to save my own soul. Yeah, save my own soul. And Paul says in the text how it is done. He gives two prescriptions, but again, anytime those of us that take medications, anytime you take a medication, you'll find that there's a main ingredient, but there are also other ingredients that go along with that main medication that help us. So Paul gives us in the text that how we can work out our soul salvation and how it is done. Amen? So we find, we pick up in verse number 12 from last week. Paul wrote, "Wherefore, my beloved," thank you, brother, for reading this morning. Thank you again, all the brothers, for your participation this morning. Those that offer prayer, those that led communion, those that sung and led us this morning in our service to the Lord. Amen? Amen? Paul writes, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." And here go our title here. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul said, note now, involved in the verse 12 is he says, as you have always obeyed. So now, obey, our obedience is willing to do what someone tells you to do. That's obedience. Yeah, we have the word of God. And Paul was saying to those Philippians, as you have always obeyed, he says, now, not when I'm here, but also when I am not here. Yeah. How do we behave when we think no one is watching us? Yeah. How do we behave? Because Paul said in not in my presence only, he said, but now much more in my absence. Turn your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 4. Want to let us know the Bibles this morning. Hebrews chapter 4. The Hebrew writer lets us know something about when we feel that we are not being watched or nobody is seeing. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 4 and 13, he says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Paul, or the Hebrew writer said, understand this, there's nobody that is not made known in the sight of God, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The Hebrew writer said, understand this, everything we do and even everything we think, the Bible lets us know it is made known in the sight of God. Yeah. So it's not just when how I behave when I come to worship service or when I come to Bible class or when I'm in the presence of others. But understand this here. God is watching us when nobody else is watching. Yeah, I just think about somebody shared with me, and I take that as a blessing. Somebody said to me, say, understand this. God is not sleeping. Yeah, God doesn't sleep. God is watching. God knows what we're doing. Paul said, for that reason, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work means something that we must do. Your own salvation is a personal responsibility. It cannot be passed to no one else. Nobody can save Horace Stroud but Horace Stroud. Yeah. That's why the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, show you where it's personal. Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. Luke wrote, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It is responsibility of each of us to save ourselves. And also understand this, the most precious possession I have is not my car, not my home, it is my soul.
Amen.
Most precious thing I have is my soul. So it's a responsibility of me to save my own soul. It's a work. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. We all, as Jesus did, have an assignment from God, is to work the works of him that sent. Jesus said, my work is to do the works of him that sent me. Our work is to do the works of God that we find in the word of God. And Jesus said, while it is day, he said, for the night cometh. The night means death. He said, when death comes, no man can work. After we're dead, there is no more works. So while we are living, we have to do the works of God that God has given us. We also find in Jesus' writing in Matthew 25, Jesus said, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, Jesus was speaking metaphorically of the man being the Lord, called all of his servants, and he delivered unto them good. Now, note what the Bible says in verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. This implies that all of our talents and responsibilities are not equal. Yeah. However, each one of us must use our talents and opportunities to the fullest while we're in this life. Yeah. You have some members are 5-talent members. They can do, may can do more than others. Yeah. You may have some that are 2-talent members. They can do that which the Bible says according to their several abilities, or do what you can do. But then sometimes there are those that have the 1 talent. But understand this here. Whatever talent God gave us, it is to be used in the kingdom. Sometimes we want to do a lot of work, but notice he said, for the kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ is such that God has servants. And I'm saying to all of us, whatever our talents are for the Lord, we should be using those talents, whatever they are. God gave them to us, and God expects. If you read that further, you'll see that God made an account of every person based on the talent they had, and those that use those talent as God has given them, God said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Yeah, so it's our responsibility. I'm saying here that not only is the fact that we have to work on our soul salvation, but we work it out based on the abilities that God has given us. That's why it's important that we don't measure ourselves by ourselves. Sometimes if we're not careful, we measure ourselves by other people. And when we do that, the Bible teaches us that that's not proper. No, turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. I'm going to line this up where the fact that when you start measuring yourself by somebody else. The Bible says, Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, let them know. Notice in verse number 12, Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 10 in verse number 12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Be careful. Sometimes in relationship, we start comparing to other people. Yeah. Be careful, Brother Stroud. You don't start comparing Sister Stroud to some other sister. Yeah. Because that's not wise. Yeah. Sister, when you start trying to compare your husband to another brother, that's not wise. Yeah. We have what we have. Yeah. You may be looking at a 5-talent husband and you married a 1-talent man. Yeah. So you expect that 1-talent to do the best he can. I'm saying, let us be careful that I don't look at someone else and start, the Bible said, measuring myself, comparing myself. I want to do all that I can for the Lord based on the ability that God has given me. Yeah. And then when we look at the word, Paul gives us the word fear. I want to give a definition of fear because at understanding what Paul said, the word fear, by definition, is a dread of displeasing God, which influences the behavior of those whose actions are to align with the commands of God. What do you mean, Brother Stroud? What I'm saying is that, you know, I know growing up as a child, you would dread going to school and not making good grades and displeasing your parents. In that sense, well, what the Lord is saying, what Paul was saying here, it is a dread that we have of displeasing God. Now, involved in not displeasing God is knowing what God's will is for us. I got to know, I have to align myself up with the commands of God. Yeah, turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. We'll see how Paul opens that up, what fear means in the text. So again, it's a dread of displeasing God, that I want to make sure that my behavior is such that God is pleased with me. In 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, Paul wrote, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, watch what he said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. That's behavior. I clean up myself. Then he says, what? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So I clean up my life. I clean up my behavior. Why? So I want to walk holy before God. The word perfecting means maturing myself and walking in holiness in the fear. I don't want to displease God. Right. And that's for each of us. We'll see in the text, Paul shares us, in order to do God's will, I have to know what the will of God is. Amen. That's the reason I ought to study every day. I want to get an understanding. It's my responsibility when I mount this pulpit that I try to share God's word where it is logical, simple, and understandable. How can I do if I don't understand what to do? So I have a responsibility, a grave responsibility, to try to take the word of God and put it in its simplest form so we can understand What is God saying when he said, Paul said to do it with fear and trembling? Yeah, I don't want to displease God. I want to be faithful to God. I want to do those things that I find written in the Word of God. And sometimes the problem we have is, there was a song. It said, it's your thing. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. Sometimes in the Lord's church, we take that mindset. It's my thing. And I can do whatever I want to do. But I'm here to tell you, that's not the mindset of fear. Because I understand that it's not my will. And I'm going to show you in the text where Paul shares that with us. It's not mine, it's his. But the word trembling simply means to be afraid. Yeah, to be afraid. Now, things that we alter, the fear of, be afraid of consequences and different things. We as Christians are given work in the kingdom. We should develop our talents in order to carry out the work in the church. We have ministries set up. That's to allow me to work in the church. And I said all of us, we should be, each of us should be a part of at least one ministry. And whatever abilities I have, I want to serve in that ministry. Amen. So it's not just signing up. It's not just putting my name on there. I want to be active in the ministry. I want to know what the ministry is doing. While I'm on this point, those that are the soul-saving ministry is meeting after Bible class today. But it's not just the soul-saving ministry. Anyone that is interested in giving input about how we can move forward our evangelistic effort in this congregation, I'm asking you to be present. Amen, somebody. Yeah, because it's not an individual. It is a congregational responsibility that we evangelize. So I want those that have an interest to be there. So, because we got to work out our soul salvation. Yeah. When we stop trying to evangelize, we may as well keep the doors closed. That's our mission. That's our work that the Bible gives us, that we do those things. Notice the Bible says, Paul, in writing that scripture in Ephesians, note, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said this. He said in verse number 9 of Ephesians 3, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent, now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. It's the responsibility of us to make known the wisdom of God and to get it to those people that have not, notice he said, and to make all men see. What men? Those men in whom lives I come in contact with. Yeah. To make them see what the Lord says. And so Paul said that when I said that we have a mindset that some of us have a mind, it's my thing, I can do what I want to do. Well, the Bible lets me know that's not the truth. Because Paul said in verse 13, know what he said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The word worketh here means to be active in each Christian. And God is active in us. Notice he said, to do of his good pleasure. So what that means is that as I obey the will of God, God worketh in me because I'm doing his will. I have a will that came down from heaven, and as a Christian,
I am doing that will. So Paul said that God can to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yeah, God had the word pleasure in the text means a pleasing purpose. God has a purpose for all of us. And all of us not the same. Yeah, all of us not the same. Yeah, but we understand that it is God who wants to work through us when we do his will. Our obedience to heaven's will is the means by which God works in us. Yeah. What do you mean by that, Brother Stuart? Well, in Romans, notice when God, when things happen to us, you know, sometimes I'm learning more and more what Paul meant when he said in Romans 8 and 28, Paul said there, and we know, now we ought to know this, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Remember I said, God has a purpose. Yeah. But so whatever happens to me, I have to have the mindset, and I had some stuff happen to me last week. Yeah, went in for some testing, and I don't know if they did it right, but it worked together for my good. Because I had to end up doing something that I didn't think I needed to do, but it actually helped me. So I have to have the mindset when I'm doing right. Let me say that, not when I'm doing wrong. When I'm doing that which is right and something happens, all things work together for what? Yeah. That's the mindset. That God can work with me. You know, sometimes something may happen to a member. And you see that member still being faithful, even though they're going through trial, what it can do, it can energize other people to be more faithful. Right. Yeah, you mean say, this person going, yeah, this person going through that, and they're still coming to worship, they're still faithful. Why? Because now God's working through you. I'm still faithful to the Lord. Yeah. Let us not be one that as I'm going through, and understand this here, and I'll say this here, I want to go on record as saying this here. No one has to explain to anybody about your attendance, your worship. God knows whether you can or can't. God knows that. Now, it's okay sometimes to call. I can call a brother and just let my parents. I want you to know I'm not feeling well this morning. And I won't be at worship on this morning. Thank you, Brother Stroud. So somebody say, I talked to Brother Stroud. He called me and let me know. Yes. That's wrong with that. But understand this here. God knows. Yes. God knows whether Brother Stroud stayed home from worship on Sunday, but got up early Monday morning and went to that job. But sometimes we get it backwards. We get it, the jumpers, we get it twisted. I stay home from worship so that I can feel better to go to work on Monday. No, I'd rather come to worship on Sunday and call in if I need to on Monday. Yeah. It's more important to me that I be faithful to God. Yeah. But again, I'm saying to everybody, God knows our situation. Those that we have, our members that are sick and shut in, God knows. You don't have to get no account to nobody. I don't have to answer to nobody. God knows. But then God also knows when I say, well, I can't go to worship. Wait a minute, I saw him at the mall. You mean say, at the mall, getting them some brand new Nikes at the mall. Well, I surely be going, no, he can't come tomorrow morning. Yeah, I'm just saying we have to weigh ourselves. And again, that's what I'm saying. That fear that I have of the Lord is that I don't want to displease the Lord. God knows. I don't want to displease God. God knows Horace Stroud's situation. He knows what I can and what I can't do. Yeah.
Well, James said that sometimes we can do this and that, because sometimes as you get older, you can't do this, nor can you do. Yeah, stuff start working with you. Yeah, yeah. He said, what we ought to say. Yeah, let me see what James said that. What we ought to say. Yeah, James said that. What we ought to say. Yeah. What we ought to say. Yeah, if the Lord will, we should do this or do that. Yeah. Where did he say that at? I'm saying, okay. James 4:14. I don't like to assume that people know scripture. My responsibility is to share scripture. James said this here in verse 14. Whereas you know not what you shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while, a little time, and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and that, or that. And like I say, sometimes as you get older, sometimes you can't do this, and it's hard to do. Yeah. But if the Lord will, that's what James said. But that's the mindset I have in serving God. Amen? Let me finish up here. Then he says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Murmuring means to complain quietly about something. Yeah. You know how sometimes we can murmur. You need to understand in 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, turn there. 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, as I finish up this lesson here, that we ought to understand what murmuring does. The Bible says Paul gave an example of what happened to them in the Old Testament. He said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, he said, neither murmur ye, as some also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. God killed them for murmuring. Yeah, so Paul said, when it comes to me serving the Lord, I do it without murmuring or disputing. Disputing when I have inward reasoning that separates me from what God has said. Paul said, why do we not complain or cause division? Paul said in verse next verse, that you may be blameless. That's the reason why I don't complain. That I may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Paul said, the reason I don't complain, the reason I don't call division, he said that when others look at me, the word blameless means not to be held responsible. Paul said, I'm harmless, I'm innocent. I am the Son of God, and I'm without rebuke, even though I'm living in a crooked and an immoral nation. We live in a nation that is immoral. Yeah. But while I live in this nation that's immoral, Paul said that we ought to let our light shine in the world. Yeah. We need to be upright. We need to live a life that brings glory and honor to God. Why? Because we fear God. Yeah, I don't want to displease God. So I'm trying to make my life as blameless as possible. I'm trying to walk. I'm trying to grow and live as upright as I can. Paul said, let your light shine. Then he says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Paul says here, holding means the process of understanding. What am I supposed to understand? The word of life. Yeah. I got to understand that I got to hold on to God's word. I got to understand that God's word is eternal. I got to stay with God as I go through these trials and tribulation. Look in John chapter 6 right quick. Show you some. Bible talks about the words of eternal life in John chapter 6. A good teaching in verse number 65. Jesus says something here, and you'll find the mindset of some. The Bible says, and he said in verse 65 of John chapter 6, therefore said I unto you, therefore said I unto you,
that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12. Notice Jesus didn't go chasing nobody. Yeah. When they turned their back on the Lord didn't go looking for them. He asked the 12. The Bible said, then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away? Will you also go away? Watch Peter's response. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's why Paul said, holding forth the word of life. Paul said that I may rejoice in the day of Christ when he returns, that I have not run in vain, nor have I labored in vain. He said, yea, if I be offered unto the sacrifice, upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, he said, I joy and I rejoice with you all. Paul said here, I understand that I got to make sacrifices. You know, when we talk about sacrifices, Romans 12:1 tells us that we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. I was talking about singing this morning. Hebrews 13:15 talks about the sacrifice of praise. So whenever the word sacrifice means we offer something to God, we offer service to God. We're here worshiping God in spirit and truth. And Paul said that I joy and rejoice in with you all. So we got to find joy when we come to worship God. I joy in the fact that God gives me an opportunity to preach the word of God, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And then as I close, Paul said, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. You know, serving God has to be a joy. We have to work out our own salvation. Paul said, with fear and trembling, I have to know what God's will is so I don't displease him. And as I close, earthly friends and loved ones cannot do for us that which is our individual responsibility. I can't save my children. I can't save my wife. My wife has to save herself. My children have to save themselves. Now, I can be an example for them. We all should try to be. That's why let your light shine. We want to be example for other people. Yeah, but we also understand, according to 1 John 1:9, we all going to sin. Yeah, we all going to sin, and we have to repent of those things. Yeah, I have a responsibility to save my own soul as given to us all through the word of God. God gave us the instructions how we, Paul said, that you say, work out your own soul salvation. We got to work in the church. Yeah, we got to be active. And so I'm saying to us, if I have not been active in the church, I have not been working, then I want to find whatever my abilities. I may be that one talent. I may not be the five or the two talent. I'm the one talent person. But am I using that one talent? Why? Because the scripture says I have to work out my own soul salvation. I have to do it. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Initially, what I must do, God has a plan of salvation. In Luke 11:28, the Bible tells us I must hear something. That which I must hear must be the gospel. I must hear that Jesus Christ loved me so much and the world so much, he died on the cross. He suffered. They beat him with a whip. They put crowns on his head, and then they nailed him to a cross, his feet and his hands. That's the gospel, that Christ died for my sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. I have to believe that. John 6:29. Then I must repent of my sin. The life I've been living, I have to turn now and turn toward Christ. When I turn toward Christ, I need to make confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, found in Acts 8:37. then I must be water baptized for the forgiveness of all my past sin. Then what the Lord does, he adds you to the church with those others that are saved. If there's anyone today that is subject to the invitation, we bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much for your patience and your listening on this morning.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its spring. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink.